Chapter 9, Manifest Destiny, 1835 to 1848. Why it matters. In this period, Americans strove to expand the nation's boundaries. Many believed they had a manifest destiny to spread democratic ideals. Others simply wanted to go west to find a new and better life. In Texas, settlers came into conflict with Mexico, while those going west on the Oregon Trail came into conflict with Native Americans. The impact today. Developments of the era have left a legacy for Americans. The nation now stretches from the Atlantic to the Pacific Oceans. Americans remain a restless people, ready to move to pursue economic opportunity. Many Americans continue to view themselves as destined to succeed and prosper. Section 1, The Western Pioneers, An American Story. Mary Richardson Walker, a young woman from the East with a strong religious faith, wanted to serve God as a missionary to Native Americans. In April 1838, she and her husband started out from Missouri, bound for Oregon. After a 129-day trek along the Oregon Trail, they established a mission at Shimokane, near what is now Spokane, Washington, and began their efforts to convert the Nez Perce people to Christianity. She wrote in her diary of some of her experiences, January 21st, 1839. The Indians have covered our house with grass and boughs and chinked it so that we are very comfortable. August 5th, 1839. I have just been exercising some Nez Perce boys in adding numbers. I never could make white children understand half as quick. December 9th, 1847. We were hoping to have Dr. Whitman to supper with us tonight, but about sunset, old Solomon arrived bringing the sad intelligence that Dr. and Mrs. Whitman and others have been murdered by the Indians. I do not see why I should expect to be preserved when more faithful servants are cut off. Quoted in Women of the West. Americans head west. In 1800, only around 387,000 white settlers lived west of the Appalachian Mountains. By 1820, that number had grown to more than 2.4 million people, and the numbers continued to rise rapidly. By the time the Civil War began, more Americans lived west of the Appalachians than lived in states along the Atlantic coast. Some Americans headed west for religious reasons. Others were lured by the chance to own their own farms. While most settled east of the Mississippi River, more than 250,000 Americans headed farther west, across the Great Plains and Rocky Mountains to California and the Pacific Northwest. In 1845, a magazine editor named John Lewis O'Sullivan declared that it was the manifest destiny of Americans to overspread the continent allotted by Providence. Many Americans believed in this concept of manifest destiny, the idea that God had given the continent to Americans and wanted them to settle western land. Farming the new lands. Early settlers marked out farms on the rich river bottom land. Others occupied fertile woodland soil. These pioneers became known as squatters because they settled on lands they did not own. The federal government intended to survey the land and then sell large parcels to real estate companies, but squatters wanted to buy the land they occupied directly from the government. Bowing to public pressure, Congress passed the Preemption Act of 1830, a renewable law made permanent in 1841. This law protected squatters by guaranteeing them the right to claim land before it was surveyed and the right to buy up to 160 acres for the government's minimum price of $1.25 per acre. Plows and reapers. A few decades earlier, farmers had only wooden plows to break the grass cover and roots of Midwestern sod. Jethro Wood patented an iron-bladed plow in 1819, and in 1837, John Deere engineered a plow with sharp-edged steel blades that cut cleanly through the sod. This reduced by half the labor needed to prepare an acre for farming. Midwestern agriculture also received a boost from the mechanical reaper, which Cyrus McCormick patented in 1834. For centuries, farmers had cut grain by hand using a sickle or a scythe, time-consuming and exhausting work. Switching from a sickle to a McCormick reaper pulled by horses or mules, farmers could harvest far more grain with far less effort. Reading check. Explaining. How did Congress help squatters attain land in the West? Settling the Pacific coast. Latecomers to the Midwest set their sights on California and Oregon. This push to the Pacific Ocean happened partly because emigrants assumed that the treeless expanse of the Great Plains, which lay just beyond the frontier, contained poor land for farming, dividing Oregon. Other nations, as well as Native Americans, had already laid claim to parts of Oregon and California. In the case of Oregon, the United States and Great Britain competed for possession, though they had agreed in 1818 to occupy the land jointly and settle their disputes later. In the late 1830s, American missionaries began arriving in Oregon, hoping to convert Native Americans. It was these missionaries who first spread the word about Oregon, persuading many Easterners to come to the lush Willamette Valley. Populating California. In 1821, after a bloody struggle, Mexico gained its independence from Spain. The new nation controlled a vast territory, including California, but that territory lay far from the central government in Mexico City. The local California government often relied on foreign settlers because it could not attract enough immigrants from Mexico. In 1839, hoping to attract more settlers, Juan Bautista Alvarado, governor of California, granted 50,000 acres, or 20,250 hectare, in the Sacramento Valley to John Sutter, a German immigrant. There, Sutter built a trading post and cattle ranch. Sutter's Fort, as it was called, was often the first stopping point for Americans reaching California. By 1845, more than 200 Americans had settled in California. Geography. The trails west. Much of the terrain between the frontier jumping-off points and the Pacific was difficult. A small number of trailblazers, mountain men like Kit Carson and Jim Bridger, made their living by trapping beaver and selling the furs to traders. At the same time, they gained a thorough knowledge of the territory and the local Native Americans. By the 1840s, the mountain men had carved out several east-to-west passages that played a vital role in Western settlement. The most popular route was the Oregon Trail. Others included the California Trail and the Santa Fe Trail. Wagon train life. Emigrants made the journey in trains of covered wagons. Before starting out, the trains assembled at staging areas outside a frontier town. There, families exchanged information about routes, bought supplies, trained oxen, and practiced steering the cumbersome wagons, which new drivers were apt to tip over. The first wagon trains hired mountain men to guide them. Once the trails became well-worn, most of the travelers, known as overlanders, found their own way with the help of guidebooks written by earlier emigrants. Sometimes the guidebooks were wrong, leading to tragedy. In 1846, a group of 87 overlanders, known as the Donner Party, after the two brothers who led them, were trapped by winter snows high up in the Sierra Nevada. After 41 died of starvation, those still alive faced the choice of death or cannibalism. Many, in desperation, did resort to cannibalism in order to survive. The typical trip west took 5 to 6 months, the wagon trains progressing about 15 miles or 24 kilometers per day. Generally, men drove the wagons, hunted game, and bedded down the animals at night, while women looked after the children, cooked their family's food, cleaned the camp, and laundered the clothes. As Elizabeth Geer recalls here, the journey west was exhausting and difficult. I carry my babe and lead, or rather carry, another through snow, mud, and water, almost to my knees. It is the worst road. There was not one dry thread on one of us, not even my babe. I have not told you half we suffered. I am not adequate to the task. Quoted in Women's Diaries of the Westward Journey. Native Americans. Early travelers feared attacks by Native American warriors, but such encounters were rare. By one estimate, 362 emigrants died due to Native American attacks between 1840 and 1860. The same estimate calculates that emigrants killed 426 Native Americans. In fact, Native Americans often gave emigrants gifts of food as well as helpful information about roots, edible plants, and sources of water. They often traded fresh horses for items such as cotton clothing and ammunition. As the overland traffic increased, Native Americans on the Great Plains became concerned and angry over the threat immigration posed to their way of life. The Sioux, Cheyenne, Arapaho, and other groups relied on the buffalo for food, shelter, clothing, tools, and countless other necessities of everyday life. Now they feared that the increasing flow of American settlers across their hunting grounds would disrupt the age-old wanderings of the buffalo herds. Hoping to ensure peace, the federal government negotiated the Treaty of Fort Laramie in 1851. 8 Native American groups agreed to specific geographic boundaries, while the United States promised that these territories would belong to the Native Americans forever. Reading check. Describing. What were the difficulties facing Western settlers? The Mormon migration. Unlike those bound for the West Coast in search of land, the Mormons followed a deeply rooted American tradition, the quest for religious freedom. The Mormons, however, sought that freedom by leaving the United States. In 1844, after a mob murdered Joseph Smith, the church's leader, his successor Brigham Young, decided to take his people west to escape further persecution. Several thousand Mormons forged their way along a path that became known as the Mormon Trail. Along with the Oregon Trail, it served as a valuable route into the western United States. In 1847, the Mormons stopped at the Great Salt Lake in what is now Utah. With the words, "This is the place," Young declared that here the Mormons would build a new settlement. Undeterred by the wilderness of the area, the Mormons staked a claim on the land they called Deseret. Reading check. Examining. Why did the Mormons emigrate to the West? Time Notebook. Moving West, 1816 to 1850. Eulogy. Chief Joseph, a leader of the Nez Perces of the Wallowa Valley in eastern Oregon, remembers his father, old Joseph. The Nez Perces were forced to leave the Wallowa Valley less than a decade after old Joseph's death. "My father sent for me. I saw he was dying. I took his hand in mine. He said, 'My son, my body is returning to my mother earth, and my spirit is going very soon to see the great spirit chief. When I am gone, think of your country. You are the chief of these people. They look to you to guide them. Always remember that your father never sold his country. You must stop your ears whenever you are asked to sign a treaty selling your home. A few years more and white men will be all around you. They have their eyes on this land. My son, never forget my dying words. This country holds your father's body. Never sell the bones of your father and your mother.' I pressed my father's hand and told him I would protect his grave with my life. My father smiled and passed to the spirit land. I buried him in that beautiful valley of winding rivers. I love that land more than all the rest of the world. A man who would not love his father's grave is worse than a wild animal." Baseball for beginners. Thinking of taking up the new game of baseball? Watch out, the rules keep changing. 1845. Canvas bases will be set 90 feet apart in a diamond shape. Only 9 men will play on each side. Pitches are to be thrown underhanded. A ball caught on the first bounce is an out. 1846. At first base, a fielder can tag the bag before the runner reaches it and so make an out. 1847. Players may no longer throw the ball at a runner to put him out. These changes may be coming. A poor pitch is a ball. 9 balls gives the runner first base, a walk. A ball caught on the first bounce is no longer an out. Milestones. Settled, 1847, the Valley of the Great Salt Lake, by Brigham Young, leader of the Mormon Church, and a party of 143, to escape hostility toward their group in Illinois. Young plans to return to Council Bluffs, Iowa, and lead the rest of the members of his faith to a permanent home in Utah. Moved, 1845, Henry David Thoreau, writer, to Walden Pond, Concord, Massachusetts. Thoreau intends to build his own house on the shore of the pond and earn his living by the labor of his hands only. Many of the so-called comforts of life, write Thoreau, are not only not indispensable, but positive hindrances to the elevation of mankind. Ailing, 1847, Edgar Allan Poe, in Baltimore, following the death of his wife, Virginia. Other than a poem on death, Poe has written little this year, devoting his dwindling energies to plagiarism suits against other authors. Emigrated, 1845, Frederick Douglass, former slave, author, and abolitionist leader, to England, to escape the danger of re-enslavement in reaction to his autobiography, Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass. On his 1845 trip across the Atlantic, Douglass was not permitted cabin accommodations. After a lecture during the crossing, some passengers threatened to throw him overboard. Discovered, 1846, the planet Neptune, by German astronomer Johann Gall. Numbers, 18,000. Miles from New York to California by sea route around Cape Horn. 90,000. People arriving in California in 1849. Half by sea, half by overland route. $20. Average earned per day by California gold miners in 1849. $18. Average expenses per day for California gold miners in 1849. $390. Value of miners' average daily earnings in 2001 dollars. 50. Number of years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams die within hours of each other. 17,069,453. U.S. population in 1840. 55,000. Number of emigrants moving west along the Oregon Trail in 1850.